At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be an architect indeed in an era in which is great to be awesome. It's DPP.
Almost as always. It's good to be back. I was out yet last week, but you know.
There you go.
We're back.
We're back again. And joining us, as usual, is the trivia trickster himself. He's funky, phenomenally fresh, in oh so many ways. It's none other than AJ Balazs.
I needed a highball glass for the heat in the day that I've had so far, but hey, it's always good to be on.
Booze, and more booze.
Nothing wrong with that. Welcome to the 444th edition of the DWI podcast right here on Cheershot Radio Network, folks. Got plenty of great topics today, so why don't we just get right into telling what we're going to talk about this week.
Well, we're waiting.
And I know I've been waiting to do this for a little bit. It's the Big Show Sheet. Now with the four ply. Because it's episode 444.
Oh, yeah. How I missed that bit of the show. I would say this is more of the Moses Malone episode of the DWI podcast, where back in the 80s, he told everybody, once we get to the playoffs, it's going to be faux. Go look that up if you're an old NBA fan. But this week on the podcast, we're going to run down some Raw and SmackDown notes, starting with SmackDown from a week ago. Roman Reigns returns. We got a new number one contender for LA Knight's U.S. Championship. We have a number one contender match set for next week for those SmackDown tag team titles on Raw. Big things happening with the Judgment Day. Big things happening with the New Day. We got a no contest for the women's tag title. What happens now? And we're going to talk about that unbelievable main event from Raw. The 2 out of 3 falls match between Bron Breakker and Sami Zayn. When we come back, all that and more right here, DWI 444. Like I said, Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. Always use your head. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs for everybody that wants a t-shirt. Everybody wears t-shirts. Makes a great gift as well. So check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. When we come back, Raw and SmackDown notes as we are on our way to Bash in Berlin.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. always use your head.
DPP, ring the bell. All right, guys, huge SmackDown last week. We got to start with the OTC is back, gentlemen. Roman Reigns making his return, taking out the new bloodline. How'd you guys like the segment to end that show, DP?
Pretty solid. They're clearly doing a job of keeping Jacob Fatu away from him. So that's going to be the big thing going on.
Very smart.
I was surprised there was more interaction physically than I expected. I thought they maybe hold off on a lot of that, you know, for a little while, because why not? But loved it. Loved it. Loved the exit by Roman. The whole thing, like it was Undertaker-esque when he walked away, you know, kind of thing. And it's just crazy. We talked about how ridiculous of a babyface he was going to be when he came back, and it is not disappointing.
No, not at all. He is on another level right now. AJ, what were your initial thoughts here?
I mean, I absolutely loved it, and I agree that they're keeping Jacob Fatu away from Roman Reigns for a little bit, and I appreciate that a whole hell of a lot, because apparently SummerSlam, they said that they made it so he did hurt himself, so he's not a factor since they didn't have someone to face off against him, and he was nowhere to be seen for this segment, but Roman Reigns going back to an old shirt that he had with wreck everyone, then leave. And boy, did he clean up shop. You know, Solo ran off. And Tama Tonga and Tongaloa getting the absolute shit kicked out of them, which I don't think we didn't see anything different coming in there. But hey, I'm all for what they're going to bring to the table, to the head of the table, for what's going on with this bloodline civil war.
When does Roman factor into a PLE?
I would say War Games for a Survivor Series match.
So no Bash in Berlin, no Bad Blood.
No.
No Saudi.
They might try to shoehorn him in for a Saudi just because the Saudi money talks, and we don't have Platt around to give us a new tagline for those, but
Jam in the Sand 11.
Hopefully 72 virgins in heaven.
That's why you, I'm working on stuff over here, guy. You're stealing my, what the fuck? I might need to bring in Adam Pearce in here to give AJ Balazs a suspension. Go sit in the corner for 5 minutes with a dunce hat on. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's something like that, right? That's good. That's good. Hopefully, there will be waiting 72 virgins in heaven. That's what's kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know. Hopefully.
But yeah, if anything, Saudi would be like the earliest. But if not, I definitely see civil war games going on with the bloodline.
Even like, not even Bad Blood though. Like maybe you got Solo and Roman for Bad Blood, and then you got all the interference, and then that kind of sets up. I don't know. I think something has to happen before then. What do you think, Dan?
That's what I'm trying to look at. Like Crown Jewel is.
We got Bash in Berlin is at the end of the month.
Bash in Berlin, then Bad Blood, then Saudi.
Bad Blood is until October, right? First weekend of October. And then Saudi's early November, and then War Games is late November.
Bad Blood is October 5th.
Yep, I had all the dates right there. So, yeah, I'm just trying to think back. Like, we looked at this before.
Yeah. I feel like there could be one. Like, I think him and Solo... Oh, man. Him and Solo need to square off, and I feel like that could happen before War Games.
Bad Blood, I feel like.
Yeah, it seems like it would be good for a Crown Jewel for Saudi because of the money. But it would be a great Bad Blood match as well. Because you feel like War Games is going to be obviously the whole group of them getting together and possibly the return or appearance of The Rock in some fashion, maybe to kickstart the road to WrestleMania between the two. But it feels like a long time before War Games to not have Roman versus somebody in a bloodline in the bloodline match. And
right.
Obviously he could work through the other two, but the other two aren't going to be a pay-per-view match. That's going to be Solo and Reigns in some type of, you know, tribal chief, you know, match that doesn't end the way it should because everybody's going to get involved. But, man, it feels like a long time before Survivor Series to not have something with Roman Reigns on the card. Even if it's a tag match or a six-man match or something, maybe, you know, maybe get Orton and KO and Roman together or something. Have a six-man.
Especially since Survivor Series, apparently, from what I'm seeing here, is going to be November 30th. Because I didn't think it was going to be that late. Because I know it's usually around, you know, turkey time. But
2 in 1 month, though. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Which appreciative, because that makes sure that we keep eating and everything else. But they could do a match like Saudi Arabia or Bad Blood, like you guys said. They could just try to shoehorn a Waller effect as well, like they did before, where maybe that's what starts all the tension, because Theory and Waller are a bunch of conniving assholes. But that's the only thing that I can think of if they don't do a match. But yeah, they need to start sowing more seeds, so it's Roman gets Jimmy back, obviously. We haven't seen Jay in a while Raw, so he might jump in.
But that's the thing. You have this match with Roman and Solo, and that causes Roman needing to go outside of himself to challenge these guys, because they're just going to, you know, that's where Jacob comes in or something like that. So yeah. I think it's Bad Blood. I do. I don't see Roman going over to Berlin. That's already set, almost, kind of. People knew what they were getting there. They got, I mean, Randy and Gunther, come on. But we'll see, because like you said, those guys do have to come back in on it. So I what about the return of Paul Heyman?
Yeah, that's got to happen soon too. I mean, I guess maybe not soon, but he's going to come back. And then,
cause you got a month and a half to set up this match if you're going to have it at Bad Blood.
Yeah. But plenty of time.
Sure.
Plenty of time. And you got to have Heyman come back sooner than later. And we know what side he's on at this point.
Right. Currently. Yeah. There's not going to be no spinning on. You can't spin that out of there, which is good. We don't want that to happen anyway. So yeah, we are excited, as everybody else is in the world of professional wrestling, that Roman Reigns is back. And what a hell of a return. So let's get into Santos Escobar becoming the number one contender for LA Knight's U.S. title. I don't think there's a chance in hell he takes it from you, LA Knight. What says you two? Oh, there's a ding. AJ, agree?
I agree. I mean, they just got the title on LA Knight. They probably want to see how he does with the title, because in my opinion, since I'm the LA Knight Eli Drake aficionado and everything else, he is better chasing the title than he is having the title. But maybe something stirred here in WWE where he can look like the champion instead of the person that's trying to chase. As for Santos, he's not winning the United States Championship. It is way too early, especially since you still have, I don't know how he's still so white hot after like 2 years, but LA Knight is still the hottest commodity you have right now. So take that ball, roll it until it starts going a little stale, and then maybe try to experiment with other things. But right now, it's got to be, and with everybody saying LA Knight, yeah.
Here's what I do love, though. I love that somebody else is getting a chance. We're seeing some other people in the title picture for these mid-card titles, which is really great. And I love that. I love that it's not the same people over and over again. We get some new blood. That's how you build extra bigger stars and guys that can get pushed up to the, you know, the next level too, is by having them in these kind of feuds where they get a shot at a mid-card title and can get some more exposure. So, you know, Santos Escobar has been around for a while, obviously, and it's good to see him getting a little more exposure, getting a title shot that he doesn't really get.
LA Knight, his next step now is, with this title, he needs to go out and have really good matches. We all know he can talk. We all know he has a connection with the crowd. We all know that he can He looks great. He's a legitimate U.S. title holder, because we kind of thought at a certain point in time maybe you could pull the trigger in another way on him even higher up. But he has not really – he's not gone out and had bad matches, but he has not gone out and we've come back on this show and said, man, L.A. Knight and so-and-so had the match of the night. Hasn't been even close. He's saying he hasn't been bad, but that's the next step I want to see him take if he really wants to be in that upper level, right? Because, I mean, honestly, I haven't seen the – you know, eight and a half, 9 out of 10 match yet, really. So that's what I need from them. But what do you guys need from the tag team division over on SmackDown? Because our number one contender match now, next week, is Street Profits versus DIY. And I'm betting that this will be a match for those titles at Bash in Berlin. You think that's the way you get Bloodline involved? That's the way you get Solo there and kind of on TV, just being there and helping them out. I don't know. What do you guys think here, AJ?
The only thing is, how far are they playing up Jacob's injury? Because...
But why are you having a number one contender match for that for those titles if we're not going to sit here and do it at the pay-per-view?
No, I'm not disagreeing. It's just, like, my thought process with everything is... It was won by Tama and Jacob.
Right, but it could be New Day rules where Solo could wrestle.
Or...
No. Nope. The One-Eyed Wonder? Fuck him. He sucks. He can't even hold the title belt up. He doesn't even know how to fucking hold that
thing. I could
have
told you he sucks because of Japan. He only got away with half of the shit that he could do in Japan is because he could swear. His finishing move, for crying out loud, was called Ape Shit.
Well, Netflix is coming soon.
Yeah. But not to SmackDown, to
Raw. Not soon enough.
Yeah. But it'll most likely be Solo, like the Freebird rule. Little upset that you said the New Day rule, not the Freebird rule. But you could definitely do that.
I'm playing to a younger audience here. I'm trying to expand our horizons.
Fine.
The 20-something says to the 40-something.
Yeah, the 28-year-old tells the 42-year-old it's the damn Freebird rule.
I wish I was
42.
Not
the New Day rule.
I wish I was 42.
But, no, I could definitely see maybe here you have the head of the table theme song playing and try to screw with Solo. And this is how they lose it, and then more dissension in the ranks and everything else. That could be a way, because I think that they just had this tag team title given to the Bloodline to try to make them look intimidating. And now that you don't have your most intimidating factor in the Bloodline, the new Bloodline, I should say, you're going to fall off faster than a bad habit.
What do you think, Dan?
Well, I don't see Solo wrestling this match. I don't think he's coming in there.
You think Jacob's ready to go? Or they're just waiting on this? This gets waited on.
I don't think Jacob is ready to go. I don't think they bring him back yet. They let him go in there and give it a shot.
Tama? Tangaloa.
But why not? Is the title match going to be at Berlin then?
I don't know. They haven't said. I do believe the number one contender match is next week. So that still gives you 2 weeks. So why would you have a number one contenders match on August 16th and not have a title match, not have those contenders get a title shot until October 5th?
Right. So
unless this is something they do on SmackDown. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine. The other thought, because I'm trying to think, like, timing-wise, because I want to, like, they could have this match on SmackDown then, tag team title match on SmackDown, and Roman Reigns comes out and costs them the tag team titles.
More likely doing that on SmackDown on US than Berlin, but then
you go to Berlin just for that.
You figure then that's got to happen next, that's got to happen the week before then, because likely SmackDown will be from Germany.
Right.
On the 30th. Okay.
So they'd have to do it before that. But why not?
That or they might do what they did for Elimination Chamber, where they were supposed to be in Australia, and I'll be smarky and say I was able to get two nights of SmackDown, so they might also do that as well.
Yeah, they haven't done that since then, though. Since then, they've actually gone and had the show, and I think that's better because you don't have the spoilers. I think they lose ratings when they tape because people already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, they'll do it when they really have to, but it's certainly not ideal. If they can do it, why not give them an extra show in Germany too? Right?
Well, I mean, I can wait.
Give them a Raw as well.
Most people can wait 7 hours from like noon until 7, or from 1 until 8 p.m. Eastern, because that's like the time delay, because they're not going to do it at 4 in the morning in Germany. But most people won't wait a week to not read the spoilers on it, right?
Not in this day. And even if you didn't want to, you're gonna find out because social media is everywhere now. So there's no chance.
Yeah. Right. You know, like I can stay off social media from, you know, after lunch at work until I get home. But like to do it for a week is really difficult, you know, and not do something. And we've all tried to do things like that in even shorter periods. And for some reason, you open up X or Facebook and the first thing you see is the exact result you're trying to avoid. Right.
Yeah, and especially me,
I'm never on, so I'm barely on social media, and I'm gonna find out in that moment.
Yeah, and then especially with my case where I'm on the podcast and I'm like, I already know what's happening next week, and I can't say shit. God damn it!
No, you can't. No, you can't. All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna get into a beautifully executed Monday Night Raw. AJ Balazs, DPP, NPC Tony, Alphabet Soup in full effect. Shout out to Tommy Rich. We'll be right back right here on Chair Shot Radio Network, DWI 444.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back, folks. DWI 444 right here, Chair Shot Radio Network. Before we get into Raw, two quick announcements on the network side. August 28th will officially be the return of Chair Shot NFL. Myself and the IWC War Chief Andrew Balazs will be hitting you with some preview for every single week of the NFL season. So we got that coming back. And Down the Wire, which we haven't seen since March Madness, AJ. Since March Madness, Tom and Dave Wirtz will be returning sooner than later. So stay tuned to everything right there. You can follow me at PC Tunney or follow the @ChairShotMedia account right there on X. And I believe also on Facebook. So let's get into Raw. Let's get into Rizaw here. What a fun Raw. Let's talk about the Judgment Day, guys. Like, they're still interesting as hell. We got the new Judgment Day. We got the Terror Twins. Apparently, Dom and Liv are Bonnie and Clyde, and we're going to get this mixed tag match at Bash in Berlin, which I think is pretty cool. AJ, what do you think about that? Terror Twins versus Bonnie and Clyde at Bash in Berlin.
Okay, I've gotten used to Terror Twins only because they've called themselves that on social media because they're good friends, but Bonnie and Clyde, come on, think of something more original for crying out loud.
Well,
anyway.
I kind of paused at it when I heard Cole first say it on SmackDown, and I'm like, you couldn't have found a different name that didn't include and appropriate them with mass murderers?
I mean, I guess that counts because, or that checks off because of Judgment Day, but not the point. They're supposed to be dark and whatnot, but I would love to see how this match goes, only because if Dom's in there, he's going to be a chicken shit when it comes to Rhea, and if Liv's in there, she's going to be a chicken shit to Rhea. So it's more, what is Damian going to do in this match where he tags, like, he's in the match and then he's just looking at Dom like, what are you going to do? You got to either fight me or you got to go fight her. And I know for a fact you don't want to fight her. So what are you going to do? Because we saw him chasing him up and down the Raw last week.
That was fun. That interaction was fun, heading out into the bar and everything. And that was good.
Oh. I'm also going to say this, if no one's seen it yet. I've only seen bits and pieces so far, but Dominic Mysterio on Impulsive.
Seen the whole thing. Excellent.
That is hilarious. That is. Look what happens when you let Dom talk. He's funny. He's amazing. Let the boy talk.
Yeah, you hear that, crowds? Let him talk.
So, since you brought that up before Dan gives his opinion on what we're talking about here, the cool thing is they got into Dominic and how his wife deals with everything that's going on. And just a real quick point, and we just go listen, go watch the podcast. It's really entertaining and fun. There's also one that Logan does with Kevin Durant. I think that's the one after is really good, too. But Dom's talking about it after he gets asked, and he says, you know, let me give you an example. The other night, Rhea licked my face on TV. He goes, do you want to know the first text message I got from my wife? You want to know what it said? There's a tarantula in the garage. He goes, that's how cool she is. He revealed that they've actually been together since they were 14. They waited to find out. They waited to get married to see how Dom's career would go. And obviously he's set for life. But she also has a degree in something, and she's tall and hot and secure and has no problems and gets it, right? The same as, like, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. They both do movies. They've both done kissing scenes. Or think about Hollywood and movies and things like that. You got to be able to separate it, right? You got to be able to trust your partner. So having said that and revealed some of that information that people might wanted to have known about Dominic and his new bride, let's get back to the wrestling part, DP. What do you think about this?
That's fantastic. Second what AJ says, and it's going to be interesting for the match-wise, like, because Dom doesn't want to be in the ring with anybody, either of the two. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun interaction to watch them, like, try and cower away from either of the two, Priest or Rhea. And yeah, the opening for Raw was just fantastic. You talked about going up in the ramp and then the fight in the bar and stuff, like just having, like, dude, Priest is fucking terrifying when he comes into the dark behind you. Holy fuck, that was awesome. That was a great shot that they did. Like, holy shit, especially for them too, because Dom's not very tall and obviously lives tiny. Well, so it was just like he's just towering over both of them. It was just badass looking.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good segment. you guys got any thoughts on what's going on with the actual judgment day with Finn and JD? How do you guys liking that? Because obviously Finn's going to cost Rhea and Priest this match, and we're going to get a Priest and Finn match here soon. Probably bad blood.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely going to be another chaos match with the rest of the Judgment Day getting involved. It feels like they're unstructured right now. Like, they're not sure what they're going to do with the group because they're kind of a little bit all over the place, a little chaotic, which I think is okay because it's in a spot where they're breaking up and reorganizing the people. So they'll figure out what they're going to do. If they probably have a plan already that we don't know. And maybe it just all kind of dissolves itself in a way and is not really a group anymore either way, but I'm okay with it, but it seems a little chaotic right now, which I think is rightful in its rightful place.
So, you got a last thought here on this topic, AJ?
Yeah, I agree where it doesn't feel like there's a structure to it. I know that the entire thing about Judgment Day is there's no leaders. Obviously, it's Finn. But if we can keep Big Head and maybe Carlito in the tag division, that would be a great thing.
I just figured out what JD stands for.
Giant
Jumbo
Dome.
Jumbo Dome.
Got one word right.
Dome.
Jurassic Dome.
There we go. That works too. But yeah, you can have Big Head and Carlito because Carlito, the past, I don't know, 3 months with everything that's been going on has been comedy platinum. I can't even say it's comedy gold. It's comedy platinum, especially, you know, like in the past where it was, why have you not taken care of this Liv thing? It's not that hard. I don't know. It looks hard to me. Like, Carlito.
Yeah, Carlito's a good addition, I think, to that crew for sure. He took the L the other day.
Oh,
he looks good. He still got that personality. So, yeah, we'll just kind of wait and see what the transition is here. How they finish the story with the split and where that Judgment Day group goes. Because obviously, Rhea's going to be at the top of the mountain as long as she's healthy. And Priest is going to be in that upper echelon in the same sense. So, let's move from the Judgment Day to the New Day. How do you guys thoughts on Odyssey Jones? And is Xavier not liking this? Or is Odyssey actually with Xavier? What do you guys think here?
The New Day!
Yeah, I think... I don't think Odyssey's with Xavier, but you never know. But definitely Xavier hasn't been liking it for a while.
Or is this just, we're not going to let them, we're going to give them a struggle first before they actually become the new group?
You mean give and Xavier?
Well, we're not going to just let them be a happy family right away. Like, there's going to be some trials and tribulations until they figure out that, okay, we're all on the same page. You know what I mean? It's like they lost a brother and they're trying to replace it. And, Kofi gets it and Xavier doesn't. And that's kind of the vibe that they're trying to push off to you on television, right?
But they've added the other vibe of, Kofi's always taking over Xavier and not letting him be himself. Like, every time Xavier tries to talk and tries to do something, Kofi, just jumps over the top of him, right? And I think that's where the struggle that I think they're also telling where Kofi or Xavier's going to, turn on him because he never lets him do what he wants to do or never lets him take control or anything like that.
Could Xavier have a project coming up and Kofi and Odyssey turn?
He might. I don't know what else is going on, but he obviously could have something happen.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think because, it's too simple just to have Xavier turn and Kofi and Odyssey, and then what do you do? You know what I mean? Then Kofi and Odyssey are tag team partners, and I don't know. It just seems like there's a better way to kind of bring everybody up a little more. And that's why maybe we're doing a podcast and they're writing the storylines.
The thing that I'm more wondering is, what would a heel Kofi be like?
That's what I'm saying, with a fucking gigantic enforcer. Like, what a tag team threat. What a fucking possible chance at another world title run for Kofi, who Odyssey has enough of, and then beats his ass and takes the... I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, I'm, really getting way out there, but you gotta think that, the New Day hasn't been involved in a fucking primetime storyline in years now, almost. And
basically,
Odyssey Jones is a motherfucker, dude. That dude is huge. He can move. He's got charisma. I mean,
you could buy that because Xavier's not in the wrong either.
He hasn't done
obviously
anything.
Usually that's how you turn. That's not usually how the heel ends up working, but he's not in the wrong of hey, I want to fucking do my shit and you keep getting in my way, or you won't let me do what I want to do, you won't let me talk. And Kofi and Odyssey could totally turn that into a heel move, and it would make sense. It would definitely make sense to have one way or the other, to have Odyssey be the bouncer security backup for whoever, because he is a big motherfucker.
Yeah, which I definitely can see more Kofi turning heel and Odyssey being heel than Xavier not. Because, again, a heel Kofi is something that I'm more interested in. And before anyone says, the New Day were heels before, was Kofi really a heel? Was Kofi talking? It was more Xavier was the mouthpiece when they were kind of the heel stable back in, 2017-ish era.
I mean,
you know,
how long did that last? I mean, once they finally got rid of the gospel music and people were in on it, you know. So. We'll see what happens. This is another underlying fun story, AJ.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, because, you know, Xavier just being stepped on, like you said, and Kofi just talking over him. The Odyssey Jones, like you said, he's a big boy that can do a lot of things, and he kind of fills in that Big E role where he's strength, he's got the charisma, he's like he looks the part, he knows what he's doing, so that has to be a reason as to why they called him up.
And here's the thing too, like I said, they could just be using this to wait, and at some point Big E's walking by and looks at all three of them and goes, I love this. Here's my blessing. And then they start. You know what I mean? Like, people might have been reluctant as fans to go, this isn't my due day or something. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's just another great storyline with another faction. They've gotten back to these factions, and it's so easy to have multiple directions. And it's more fun for the fans, I think, too. It's easier to kind of throw you off the scent. But speaking of more factions, how about Damage Control and Pure Fusion Collective?
Yeah, sure. Whatever wannabe Dragon Ball Z thing that they want to call them.
Hate it.
Yep, same.
So let me just set it up, AJ, and you can run with it first. There was a number one contender match for the women's tag team titles, Io and Kairi versus Shayna and Zoe. The champs came in, interfered, no contest. Next week, we're getting Triple Threat, Fire and Dawn, Pure Fusion. I can't even fucking say it. And Damage Control. That's a great name for a faction. AJ.
Where? God. I don't even want to call them by their tag name because it's just fucking terrible. Damage Control. I like seeing Io and Kairi doing stuff, but I also want to see what Dakota can do. I know that she's very damage prone from Damage Control, but that's something that I would like to see, is maybe like Dakota and Kairi doing something, and Io's like the main star, or maybe even make Dakota like the single star or something like that. That's something I would like to see, but for this tag match, I see, what are they called? Like the Unholy Union, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. There, I think that's their tag name is Unholy Union, which not the best, but it's better than Special Beam Cannon or whatever the fuck they called themselves.
Special Beam Cannon.
But yeah, I can see them winning it or Damage Control winning it, because as much as, you know, we still think Jade and Bianca are going to do stuff, you need to have a better structure when it comes to the tag division. And I feel like we're slowly getting that because of Fire and Dawn. So that going on, along with maybe like another match going on with Damage Control and, as Eric Bischoff used to call them, the lesbians, can just work together and like fight each other and whatnot, have a match that way, maybe a six-man tag at like Bad Blood or something, because they keep costing each other everything. But I don't think the tag titles are going anywhere. I think Dawn and Fire have been doing a good job, in my opinion.
If you want to know what their real name should be, go back and look at DWI number 441's title, and you will know what their team name should really be.
Who came up with that?
Otherwise. not me. Not me. I'd say that.
AJ, were you on the show that week? No, you weren't. Who could it have been?
Let me double check. Yeah, I was not on 441.
Who could have come up with that? Who even posted that one?
I know.
You did! Oh!
No.
Yeah, you got it. You're an accomplice now.
Damn it. I can... Oh, shoot, and you're posting this one, too, so I can't edit it out. yeah, I mean, other than name, like, it's going to be some good tag team matches. I'm not a fan of this right now, just because, like, who are we supposed to be rooting for this stuff right now? Like, at this point, nobody. Like,
damage control is actually the face in this.
What? No. Why? When? How? Why? And no. And, you know, just after the...
They're all three technically heel tag teams.
Yes. Right. But, so
whatever. Since
they're no more tweeners. They're not right now. So I don't like it.
The closest thing you have to a face in this is actually Damage Control, which you just had Damage Control turn on Bayley. So why?
Exactly.
No.
And they have not done anything to make themselves baby faces at this point. So
I also just read 441 that should be what the tag name should be.
Wrestling wise, I'm fantastic. I'm all for this because Io Sky, Kairi Sane, phenomenal. If you have Asuka in the mix too somewhere, and we talked about Baszler and Stark and Sonya Deville all can wrestle really well, and then you got the tag champs who are up and coming from NXT recently at least enough, and they're really good too. So I mean, they could put on some great wrestling matches, and I'm all for that. But they got to get that part, that shit straightened out. Get a better team name, and let me know who I'm supposed to be rooting for here.
Hey, Hunter, send me an email, you fuck.
Right.
All right, let's move on here. We got two more topics left, and they're two really fucking good ones. Randy and Gunther are having a fun back and forth. Drew interrupts, and we're under the belief that CM Punk is having flight issues. Well, he wasn't, because after he chases Drew around, whipping with a belt, signifying a possible strap match coming up in the near future, a backstage interview with Kathy Kelly, who looks at Punk and says, "I was on the same flight as you, and I didn't have any delays," to which Punk responds, "You're not wrong." How'd you guys feel this whole segment played out?
It's pretty fun. they do such a good job with like having all that transition between the backstage stuff and what's going on in the front, action wise, just awesome. And between Gunther and Orton, and Gunther kind of tearing down his family, going at him that way to get him fired up is just awesome. That's going to be just a fucking banger of a match. And then having, Drew McIntyre start to come down to the ring, where it almost like he was almost a secondary thought because you didn't even like acknowledge him coming down. And then CM Punk comes out of nowhere and starts that fight, like intertwining kind of the story, but not quite. Right. They're still there in the title picture, but not having anything to do with the title match. And I would love to, if they're going to do it. I said Bad Blood. I wanted to see a First Blood match come back. Maybe they're going to have, the strap match there, which I think would be great too. That could be an awesome match. It'd be really good. So I'm again, just looking forward to both these matches. They're going to be awesome. It just continues to be awesome.
Yeah, I love the fact that somehow, some way, Gunther got under the skin of Randy Orton, and that worked beautifully. That is something that tickled my fancy. I don't have a favorite to win that match. Like, it's most likely going to be Gunther, but I would not hate if Randy got like a little quick one, but it's most likely Gunther. As for Punk and Drew... Yeah, no, that flight wasn't delayed. I'm pretty sure anyone that had the flight number and everything else that they could see. Yeah, no, that came in just in time. Having a strap match, that would be a perfect way to... I don't know if it would end the feud or just make it so it feels like it's a climax until maybe an Hell in a Cell match could... and be the topper, because I know Triple H was done with the gimmick matches for pay-per-views, so...
I don't think so.
It's possible, but...
You're done with the gimmick pay-per-views?
Or the gimmick pay-per-views. Gimmick match is great. Gimmick pay-per-views,
And here I was going to bring up the fact that at some point, why don't we get rid of the theme Survivor Series and just make it War Games?
Call it War Games.
They don't do fucking Survivor Series.
I mean, it's called Survivor
anymore.
Series War Games, so...
Yeah, what a waste of time.
I mean, that could work. I'm not denying that, but
you can definitely have this... Big Four. Listen to the Big Five Project, too, by the way, on Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Cheap plug.
There you go. But you could definitely make this a strap match or a first blood match.
Well, it's going to be a strap match. He beat him with the thing,
oh, yeah,
and then
well,
he held it up, and then he held it up and said, you all know what this means, so it's got to be a strap match.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to see that as well, just to have this feud go past and then finally get that Seth versus Punk feud that we've all been waiting for, get that situated, and then...
Well, we are in the feud. You mean the match.
Yeah, the match or maybe the trilogy of matches or whatever. Like, have Punk versus Rollins for a little bit and then...
Oh, you mean Rollins. I thought you said McIntyre.
Did I? I thought I said Rollins. My bad.
Oh, maybe I misheard you.
No, it's all right. But, yeah, like, have this end. He gets the bracelet back with Larry and April on it. And then go face Rollins up until maybe the Rumble and then see what happens from there.
Let's keep Punk and Rollins away from each other and have a WrestleMania program. How's that sound?
That works, too. I'm fine with that as well.
All right, guys, what a main event on Monday Night Raw, and Braun gained a little more favor from old PC Tunney with that 2 out of 3 falls match. I had a really good time watching that on Monday Night, AJ.
Yeah, that was a damn good match. Like, of course, I'm like, oh, yeah, the bell rings, and then he loses to a Helluva kick for the first fall, but that just worked, playing into the whole, he's still... somewhat green, but you just pissed off the badass, so it worked beautifully, made sure that, you know, Braun looked like a fool in the beginning, and then he got his bearings to where he just beat the ever-living crap out of Sammy, and that worked beautifully for the character. That 2 out of 3 falls match was perfect. I'm so glad that they are not making him a like someone that respects people. I'm happy at the fact that there's some form of he's still a heel on Raw, because we have the respectful heel with Gunther where he's like, that was a damn good match, but you're not the ring general, where Braun Breaker's just like, no, fuck you, I'm going to spear you into oblivion and then just give me my next opponent. I don't give a shit.
So, I have a problem with 2 out of 3 falls matches. I just don't like them anymore. It's the same formula every time.
Well, they always go to the third fall.
Well, they're always going to go to the third fall, yeah. You can surprise me with winning a second fall and winning the match there. It's fine or whatever, but the first fall is always within like 5 minutes of the match, like every time. So like, okay, you think about this match, like I get what they were, in this sense, they were trying to say like, oh yeah, okay, he caught him with a surprise Helluva kick or whatever. And then it was like, oh fuck. But like he's fought him before, you know, he knows it's coming. And every time, like every 2 out of 3 falls match, it's like, oh, all of a sudden I can pin the guy in 4 minutes. Like, well, wait a minute. Like, it's like a 17-minute match or whatever, 20-minute match. Like, 2 out of 3 falls matches should go longer than that. The first fall shouldn't come until 15 minutes into the match, like a regular match would happen.
Or maybe they shouldn't have them on TV.
Or maybe not have them on TV. PLE matches and make them longer. They're right. A longer match. It should be. It should be like a, it should minimum be a 20-minute match. I mean,
well, I would even say half hour, honestly. You get 10-minute matches in there somehow. They don't have to be all 10 minutes, but I agree to your point. I mean, here's the thing. In this scenario, I kind of got it, right? You're really trying to make Braun look strong, and how do you get to that third fall? Well, Sammy's deadly. Sammy's got something that can knock people off. He gets the pin on Braun, but it's not enough to just... That quick hit to get him down for 3 isn't enough to take him out in a 2 out of 3 falls match. You know what I mean? That's kind of... I get what you're saying, but I feel like that's the kind of direction they wanted to go in. How can we make Sammy still look dangerous, and how do we make Braun look more invincible in the fact that even losing to a Luva kick, he's still not out of a 2 out of 3 falls match?
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing. I kind of get what they were doing here, and not like Sammy hadn't beaten him before. You know, Sammy did win a match earlier. You know, whatever that was, Money SummerSlam. Was that SummerSlam?
Jeez, no, yeah. He lost at SummerSlam. He lost the title at SummerSlam. Money in the Bank. He beat him.
Money in the Bank. Lost.
So I mean, yeah, you know, you could have him easily get a standard pinfall on him with whatever moves and stuff. Sure, he doesn't need necessarily a surprise roll up to get a 3 count on him and shock him kind of thing, so I totally get that. But I don't want to take away from the match, because if you just make it a regular match, it was fantastic, right?
Right.
And it didn't necessarily need the 2 out of 3 falls. I'm just tired of the 2 out of 3 falls formula, because it's the same every time, and I just don't like it. So I'm trying to bring a different perspective other than just like, yeah, it was a fucking good match, because it was a good match.
No, I understand.
But, you know, I got to complain about something.
It's all good, brother. So overall, just a great week of television on the main roster. Roman's back, an excellent Raw with tons of things going on over there and lots of top flight people. I just can't wait. I mean, everything's been amazing. This is just a continuation of WWE having great storylines and great matches and keeping you in it every week to week. You know, there's a lot of content to keep up with, but I have no problem sitting myself down and keeping up with it right now. So hopefully we get another great pay-per-view coming up out here in Bash. Go ahead, DP.
How about Bronson Reed? Loving what they're doing with Bronson Reed right now, making him look like a big monster. Hoping that means big things for him, better things, something shortly down the road of getting some kind of brief look at a title matches and stuff like that, because he's a big motherfucker and can really do something awesome, I think. So I'm liking that they're actually making him look like a beast, like he should look like. So really cool what they're doing with him.
Yeah, if they can keep that going, you know, he could be a contender for the Rumble. You know what I mean? He's in the Rumble. He could be one of the last five and see how he's doing there. And I don't see him. Here's the thing with the title shot. Is he going to face Gunther or Braun? Probably not. Like, the only title shot I see him getting is if Randy beats Gunther, but then it wouldn't be till, like, Saudi, because they'd have to run it back at Bad Blood. You know what I mean? So, we'll see. I don't know. I think, to your point, I think his progression is just starting to, whereas maybe in the next summer, if you can keep building his momentum, then he could be up in that top-level belt, because otherwise, I don't know. But I like Bronson Reed. We know he's a Triple H guy, too. So, yeah, that's a good call. He seems more important now.
Right. You know, take out Seth Rollins. You know, give him, because he was going to take a break or whatever. Like, have a guy like that take out, basically your top star.
Yeah.
You know, immediately makes him look like a big-ass threat. And then he just continues that. You know, he's got a built-in storyline with Rollins at some point. You know, kind of like an earthquake.
Sure.
Type of character back then, but
no, just another great week of WWE television. So we'll see what happens. But right now, that is the end of our wrestling talk. We only got one thing left on today's show, and that's trivia. But before we do that, I just want to say, do not forget about prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I mean, if you haven't been on there and perused the different selection of tees you can get, it's wide and vast, and you can get it in soft style, you can get it in a tank, you can get it in long sleeve, you can get it in a pullover hoodie. So go ahead and check that out, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, and don't forget about thechairshot.com to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You hear that crack of the beer. That means it's phenomenal funky facts. And for this one, it's been a while since DP's done one, but for this one, I swear I need the Biggie singles theme, because three ain't enough, man. I need five. There's gonna be five questions for this one.
Oh boy.
But this is how this is gonna work. I'm going to give former names of gimmicks, and you gotta tell me the wrestler, like the current name or the popular name of that wrestler. So if I were to say like Terry Bolder, Mr. America, that's obviously Hulk Hogan.
What?
So you can, I don't know,
guess he took a lie detector test and came out truthful that he was not Mr. America.
Okay, let's just keep going.
So you get the premise of the... Shut up, Dan. You get the premise of what I'm doing. I have five wrestlers. I'm going to give you two or three of their old gimmicks that they had in wrestling. You got to give me the most famous... Or they got to give me either their current or their most recognizable name.
We got it.
So, Tunny, I'll let you go first. One through five. What you picking?
Give me five. Oh, give me five. Give me one, two, three, four. Tell me you love me more. Give me five. Oh, give me five.
I don't know how I feel about that, the piano riff, but all right. So the three.
And now, the group you've all been waiting for.
Here it is.
The Lovers of Five.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So, the three gimmicks I have is G.I. Bro, Cole, spelled K-O-L-E, and Black Snow.
Do you need the Jeopardy music, Dan, or do you already have it written down?
I've got it.
Okay.
You've got it? Was that obvious because it was the five?
G.I. Bro was instant, though. That's okay.
Yeah, I know.
G.I. Bro. But yeah.
I still love
it. I knew the other gimmicks, too, but yeah, G.I. Bro was...
Yeah, I love the Black Snow one in TNA where he's on commentary beating the shit out of people as the main event mafia coming out. And it's like, oh, here comes Booker T, here comes Booker T. Oh, look at that heel kick that he just did to that and to Alex Shelley right there. But yes, it is Booker T with those gimmicks. It kind of testing the waters on that one. So Dan, one through four.
I'm number four.
All right. God. Black Tiger 2, El Caliente, and Mascara Magica. And it's a very popular wrestler that was in WWE and WCW. So I'm not going to lie, the popular gimmick was Black Tiger 2 in Japan that they had.
We both had the same idea.
And you both said Eddie Guerrero, which is correct. It is Eddie. Oh. Eddie being Black Tiger 2. Apparently in Mexico, he went by El Caliente in the Magic Mask. All right, Tunny, one, two, or three?
I'll take one.
So with two of the names, they were going to be given to this wrestler, but he left before they could give them to him. So the three names I have is Ricky Rhodes, Black Scorpion, and Spartacus.
Okay, here.
Ah,
two of those names is what was going to be pitched to him. I see Tony's answer. Dan's still thinking here. So Black Scorpion, Ricky Rhodes, and Spartacus.
My only guess, I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's it. I don't know. Don't know that one.
It is not Stone Cold. Tunney had the right answer with the styling profile.
They made him cut his hair and
give
him
to be from the Scorpion.
You should have known it from Black Scorpion,
or
where
Spartacus.
He beat Sting with the thing. But Spartacus,
he had the mask on, and the
Jim Watts wanted to get his hair cut, give him some earrings, and call himself Spartacus. And Ricky Rhodes, he wanted to name himself because he wanted to be the unofficial brother of Dusty Rhodes. His name was actually going to be Rambling Ricky Rhodes, but they changed that after that plane crash that he was in. So he became
Ric Flair.
All right, Dan.
Well, you know what I'm not doing? I'll take number three.
God damn it. All right, so we have the Director of Chaos, Kane, Festus. Let's see the answers. I think Tunney's looking to try to do a clean sweep here. And they both say Gallows, yes. And for people that wanted to know why his name was Doc Gallows for so long, it was because Director of Chaos with TNA, which is still the dumbest name I think I've ever heard in my entire life, but not the point.
I wrote down Carl Anderson first, and I was like, oh, nope. That's
Red Church, like, wrong pew. All right, so with the deuce.
AJ gets to drop the deuce because neither of us picked it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll drop the deuce. Why not?
Nobody wants a deuce.
Unabomber.
Hold on.
Unabomber.
Christmas Creature. Isaac Yankum.
Oh, shit.
You need it?
I don't. Go ahead. It's gotta be.
It's gotta be Kane.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if putting Diesel would have. I mean, either fake Diesel. Yeah. But it's Tunney with the clean sweep.
Nicely done.
Spanks a lot, guys.
I'm a stupid Ric Flair. I should have. Was dumb.
You should have known from Black Scorpion. Come on. That's a fake.
Got one more.
I like that one. That was good, AJ. Well done there. Anytime I win, I like stuff. But I mean, besides that, anyway. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. That's it. Great week of wrestling. Great trivia on the show today. AJ, let everybody know what's going on with the Trivia Trickster.
You can follow me all over the social media interwebs at PhenomenalAJB. That's AJB in all caps. I've also done an article, especially when it came to my top three SummerSlams. This was before 2024, so if you didn't listen to last week's show, go ahead and listen to that. I'm not going to lie, Dan. I'm wearing the NES shirt. And it's making me have like the itch to do a video game review. And yeah, you got the wrist pad for your computer with the NES controller. So I'm not gonna lie, it's giving me the itch of doing a gaming review again. But that's more your shtick.
Get it going. Oh no, anybody can do a video game review. I dare you to try.
That's what's going on with me. What about you, Dan? It's been a minute since you've been on the airwaves.
True. I've been traveling the state, but it's good to be back. And you can continue to follow me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP. And this show as well at Podcast DWI on the X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
I shit you not, Tunny stumbled last week trying to remember all the tags for the show because you weren't here.
Sorry, I don't do them anymore.
Fuck you. Yeah, you know. You can follow me at PC Tunny. Make sure you're checking out everything Chair Shot Radio Network, from Bandwagon Nerds to the Front and Center Podcast, Sports Podcast, to the Big Five is going to have DP making his debut on the Big Five Project. That should be out next week. We'll be covering WrestleMania 10. But until then, oh, that's the wrong one. But until then, like I said, just keep up with everything Raw and SmackDown like we are. We're having a blast with it. But yeah, I was going to do the listening thing, but music's up already. I'll just say goodbye.
Listen.
Worst outro ever.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.